Hi, I'm Dr. Gene Hensler, and for more than 20 years, I've been answering your financial questions on Atlanta's longest-running and most respected money show on radio. This is Money Talks, providing honest, straightforward answers to your financial questions.
This broadcast of Money Talks originally aired Sunday, May 13th, 2012.
Money Talks.
This is Money Talks with Dr. Gene. That's me.
Yeah!
Good morning. This is Money Talks. I think this is Atlanta's longest running and most respected
show. I don't think I know.
Oh, is that right? Well,
that's correct. Because
what do you like? This is before you were on the air before there was air. Is that right?
Yeah.
1986, I believe.
Marconi and I got together. They had this idea about radio. Worked out pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I'm Bill Lako along with Dr. Gene and Mark Bendinelli. Here today. Teddy's goofing off in Chicago. Actually, theoretically, he's working, right?
Yeah. He's back and he's goofing off today.
Oh, is that? I didn't know he was back today.
Mark, okay. Charter Financial Analyst, seniors, whatever titles we give him. Okay.
Yeah, he was up at the CFA annual conference up in Chicago.
Yes, he was having lunch at Hot Dogs with my son.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he took a cab over to Hot Dogs.
Nice.
We get foie gras. Hot dogs, you know, everything.
Hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, the whole 9 yards, whatever you want.
And French fries cooked in duck fat.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is, you know, hard work.
Good stuff. All right, well, before you get to the market roundup, we got a bunch of email questions we're going to get to, and I want to remind everybody you can email us at drgene@hensler.com if you've got questions. So we got about eight we're going to do here in the next 15 minutes or so.
You're kidding me.
Nope.
All
That's
right.
Just in the next 15 minutes. There's been a lot, actually. I mean,
well, we can't talk about any of the economics or interest rates or market news.
Well, you never know. You just never.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to ask?
Where we can.
Well, you want to ask a question or something?
No. I want to sit at the foot of the master. And
Mark. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Broad-based economics. I'll start with the chain store sales were a little weak. You know, Easter came early this year, so it got pushed into March?
Yeah, the sales got pushed into March, and then a lot of people have been shopping with the warmer weather. So January and February, you saw strong sales, and now it's kind of slowing down a little bit. Year-over-year growth dropped to about 3.3% from about a little over 4%. But it's not horrible. It's not horrible, and despite some of the other bad economic news we've had, market hasn't been horrible this week. We're down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, given what's going on in Europe and stuff, that's really not too bad.
Exactly.
Mortgage applications?
They ticked up about 1.7%. We're starting to see more people out there filing for applications to buy houses, which is definitely good news. We're starting to see a little bit of a bottoming, it appears, in the housing market. So hopefully we'll finally start to recover and get some equity back in our houses.
We'll talk with Matt a little bit about interest rates, but the number I saw was the lowest interest rates, quote, again, 3.83%. Time for us to refinance again, Bill?
Might be.
Okay.
Getting close. Not quite a quarter point.
Wholesale trade inventories climbed a little bit in March, but not too bad. I mean, they were up just a little bit, and that's no big deal. It's not something that, in terms of reclaiming production, they weren't having any sales. So that's something to worry about. Jobless claims?
They're lower. They're still near the February lows. Basically, labor market's still in recovery mode. Continuing claims, they fell as well. So pretty much that was our best economic report that we got the whole week.
Yeah, we had the prior weeks revised up to by about 3,000, which was no big deal. What do you make of this international trade thing? The trade deficit widened considerably. In March.
Well, you saw imports grow more than exports.
Oh, that's a heck of a deal. I hope you could figure that one out. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
It's basically we've been spending a lot of more money than other people like the Europeans. They can't really afford to be buying our goods.
Gotcha.
The Japanese, same issue. China, still producing like crazy. Their real estate market's starting to slow down a little bit, but Overall, we're not in horrible shape considering the issues that we are seeing across the Atlantic.
I'd say what we're seeing is that our economy is limping along, but it doesn't seem to be sliding back into recession. Interest rates, really nothing to talk about. Things haven't changed. I mean, you got 10-year treasuries at 1.89. I saw where Bill Gross and somebody else were talking about there was going to be another easing. How can you ease? How can you ease 1.89?
Well, they're going to start paying us to borrow money.
If that's what Bill and I are waiting
look,
for that.
Look, at what point, though, let's right. I want to have this conversation because I went to the Gene Hensler School of Finance and I know you went to the Graham and Dodd School of Finance and Milton Friedman and all these guys. I mean, it seems to me monetary policy is not
it's not stimulating anything.
Right.
I mean, the bottom line, it's not. Is there an investment out there, Bill, that we have that we say, given our cost of 10-year money is 1.89%, you know, if they dropped it to 1.71, we might jump in with both feet on that sucker.
No. But my guess is some hedge fund guys might. I don't know. The carry trades. I don't know. I mean, we don't play in that world because it's
all that has something to do with productivity in the first place.
That's right. It doesn't grow earnings.
It doesn't have anything to do with somebody hiring more people.
Right.
Or anything else. All this monetary stuff is horse crap as far as I can see.
So,
period.
So, you know.
They need interest rates to rise.
You think so?
Yes. Now, the real interest rate on 10-year money is below the rate of inflation.
Right.
In fact, the 30-year at 3% is below the rate of inflation. So what we're looking at today is we need to encourage people to save. This encourages people to spend. I mean, I can't picture a situation where you could have any lower interest rates would encourage any kind of investment. I mean, the only thing I see is that guys like you and me refinance our houses, and so we have another $80 a month to spend on something. And that's because we're in homes that, well, maybe underwater what we paid for them. We still got plenty of equity in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't sell them for what we got in them.
No.
But, well, the other side of this is, so so it's got to be all political. It's got to be all. If it's not fiscal, then it's.
I hear this guy, Mark. What do you think? I hear these guys. I hear these guys talking, and I don't see where this makes a doggone bit of difference.
See, these older people just can't get interest right now, and it's just if they could get a little more interest on their money, then they could start spending a little more money on their savings.
Is this a way for them to continue to save the banks?
Yes. Yeah, the only people I think who would be helped here are the banks. That I guess we would say that that's probably the case because they're effectively borrowing at zero, hardly have to pay anything for deposits, and any loans they make. I haven't been out looking at an automobile loan. Have you seen what the rates are? They're about 4% or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And see, the banks are getting the net interest margin, and now they're able to loan because rates are so low. But it's still, I don't know. I really don't understand why we've kept it so low for so long, other than just save the banks.
Yeah.
Don't really have any.
Well, so the question becomes, since this is not stimulating growth, what will?
Cutting taxes, cutting regulations.
Cutting more taxes? I mean, am I going to spend more if you take my tax rate from, if you take capital gains from 15 to 10?
Well, let's put it this way. If I knew that the taxes on dividends next year weren't going to be 43%. That's what they're going to be. 3.8% now, health care. All right?
Well, you assume the Supreme Court won't smack it down.
No. That doesn't do nothing with a 3.8% tax.
Yes, it does. It's tied in the health care bill.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, hopefully that goes away. But it goes back to ordinary income.
Right.
Okay? And without the Bush tax cuts, it goes to 39.6. Is that about right?
Right.
39.
Six per state.
Yeah. And six.
Well, it
per
goes
state.
To your ordinary income tax rate, so the high end.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bottom line here is that it goes from effectively 15% to 27. It may make a difference in what I might want, where I might want to put my money and what I might want to do with it, given those things looking at me.
So you're not necessarily saying lower tax rates from here.
No, just don't raise them.
Yeah, right. Keep them the same. Don't let this fiscal.
Yeah, I'm not looking for tax cuts. I'm looking for rates to stay the same. Corporate tax rates could go down. I think corporate tax rates should go down. We have the highest in the world. They should go down, and we should say, we're not going to charge you anything to bring in your money back that you've paid taxes out in Europe or in Asia like every other country. Geez, corporations might bring money back here to invest. Right now they say, I'll invest in Ireland. I'll invest it overseas because I'm not going to bring it back here.
So, we're getting up here. I want to talk about this just a little bit more, Gene, when we come back from the break. Didn't realize we were on a hard break here. So we're going to stop here for a quick break. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the cockpit, we want to thank you for choosing Dr. Gene and Money Talks. You will find attendants just inside the jetway to help you with your connecting money information. Thank you.
This is Money Talks. I'm Dr. Gene Hemsley.
This is Money Talks.
We're back. It's Bill Lako, Certified Financial Planner, along with Dr. Gene Hemsler, Mark Bendinelli, who's a Chartered Financial Analyst, and Jennifer Thomas, who's also CFP.
That's correct.
Well, thank you for coming in. We're going to get to you in a minute.
Okay.
But, so Gene, back to what we were just talking about, and it plays into, I just want to read Hank's question from Canton, and then I want to have this fiscal versus monetary policy discussion because it kind of answers his question. So what is going on in the Eurozone? Earlier in the year, it felt like the Eurozone was going to crumble. Europe was coming down, the world markets, you know, bringing everything down. You know, we went through a bunch of weeks where we didn't hear anything. The market was up. Now the S&P's hit a low again because of the Greek turmoil, blah, blah, blah. What's going on in the Eurozone, and how do you view it this year? Now, is this not part of the fiscal versus monetary policy we're debating in this country, is what's happening over there?
Well, what's going on over there is that they need fiscal austerity in order to maintain the amount of debts, explosive, significantly higher than ours is, et cetera. And the people over there have spoken. They say, we don't want any of that. We want to retire in Greece when we're 50 and get 90% of our pay, and we want all this sort of stuff, and everything's happy.
So how is that different from what I hear in Ohio and Wisconsin? And, you know, you cross the unions.
Well, no, but they're a much less powerful force here. You know, the union membership is very small in this country. And I forget the numbers, like 12, 13%. And the vast majority of those are state and local government type kind of unions. And people are just mad. I'm paying all these taxes, and you got this bozo here, the assistant collector to the stamp sealer business, and I'm paying him $100,000 a year. He retires with $90,000. Heck no, I don't want to pay him. So we've got that kind of thing going for us here. Everybody's been on the public dole so long over there. And I just read an interesting thing before I came in here on Bloomberg. And they said, what the Greeks have going for them is they owe $515 billion to everybody else. They're just saying, we're not going to pay you. That's their deal. Well, I'm going to predict this right now. The Greeks will be back to the drachma, all right? And the drachma will be worth, remember those Turkish
lira?
It cost you $1 million to buy it.
You gave us a $1 million bill, right?
I gave you
remember
a million.
Gene went to Turkey. And,
That's the way it's going to be. And the bottom line, well, will be is that what Greek has to sell is tourism, and we'll probably go, won't we?
Yeah.
But it costs us nothing. But that's it.
All right, so in the interim, so that's the end game.
Yes.
All right, we've been talking about it for almost 2 years now. That's the
end because game. They're pulling all this stuff. Talking about easy money,
lending
them and everything else. That's what's going on over there.
Right. Okay. So prior to the end game,
yeah.
I'll say that takes another year. I don't know. I'm making it up. I have no idea how long it takes, right? Because they're going to drag this out, they're kicking and screaming. This is going to go on for forever. In the meantime,
buy German bonds.
Really.
Buy English bonds. Don't buy French, Portuguese, Irish, anything else, because eventually, and they are getting cranky right now, the Germans are going to say, we ain't paying for these bumps. I'm just, there's just, it's just, that's what's going on. You understand?
You're not really advocating buying German bonds.
Well, I certainly wouldn't buy
Italian bonds. Or Spanish bonds.
No, but the bottom line here is you have to understand you got a country that, went through economic hell to absorb East Germany, which was just a basket case. And the West Germans had put up with higher tax rates and everything else to bring East the effectively the Greeks of Germany, the East Germans, who didn't make any money, who were used to living on the dole, to bring them back up to the norm. And most people who went through this just says, well, we're not doing this again. And Merkel and her stuff has been losing seats and stuff like that and everything else like that. So what's going to happen is Germans are going to get hard-nosed. They're not going to back it up. Now they had an ally in Sarkozy, and he's gone. The other guy says, we want growth, we want to spend, but you know what? We hate the finance people. That's what this new guy, Hollander.
Francois Holland. He wants to raise taxes on the wealthy.
75% tax rate. Anybody who makes over $1 million, take 75%. And he's somebody says, we hate the financial thing. Well, who's he going to sell French bonds to? What a dumbo. You know what I mean? And that's what the mentality you have.
All right,
this is going to break apart.
Okay. So, but in the interim, right, it's driving what's happening
it's gonna be
in
much,
our stock.
I think it'll be much faster than you think.
Really?
And that's the reason that Mark was saying earlier in the show, how it's amazing how our stock market hasn't been literally torn apart.
It's really people have been waiting for this too, and I mean,
I think this is built in.
I mean, they've been kicking this can for 2-3 years now, so it's kind of baked in.
Well,
it's already been the costliest financial rescue ever.
So, without getting into a Democrat Republican discussion, because I'm not, this ain't a political show, but aren't we doing the same thing?
We are pushing the can down the road, and somebody is going to have to stop that. Yes, we are at a more modest pace.
In how are you defining that?
Well,
as a percentage of what? GDP?
Or? Yeah, I was thinking as a percentage of GDP, but we do have a president who's perished the thought going to put us $5 trillion in the debt when all the previous administrations only did $7 trillion, was it?
Yeah, whatever he's done for budget deficits
yeah,
in the last
3
years.
Yeah, and so we have an incompetent person in there, and my suspicion is we won't put up with it for too long, but... What do I know? If he gets reelected, I just go to cash and move to Greece.
He's just joking, folks. He's just joking.
Only if Greece. Greece would be the winter months from here. Maybe I go to Spain.
All right,
to Marbella.
I know I got other questions, my direct question is, how do I invest today, seeing that what's going on in Europe is scary, something's going to happen here.
Invest in U.S. stocks, because bonds are so ridiculously priced that the inevitability of interest rates going up is so clear. Okay? And at some point, no matter what the Fed does,
people aren't going to buy it.
They're just not going to say, no, I'm going to buy McDonald's.
Right.
Okay.
It's so stupid. It's not even.
And you know what people are doing? They're in the market. The money is going out of mutual funds that invest in common stocks.
And stocks and in bond funds. Been doing this for years now.
I'm going, oh, my God. It's scary to me. Yeah.
So you're still buying equities?
Yes, I am. Every month.
Staying away from bonds.
Going short term. I think real estate is, if you have the ability to manage it, I think it's one of the great all-time times to buy real estate and rent it.
And what about, hedge funds, private equity?
I don't know enough about them. They're not transparent, so who knows what the heck they're doing. I think I'd rather be a person who would take $200,000 and go out and buy 4 homes, and you can do that, and rent them for $800 a month. As long as you're willing to get the phone call going, my kid put a rag down the garbage disposal on, your kitchen's flooded. That's part of the things that you do.
Right.
But I'm saying there's an opportunity there.
All right, so don't bury the money in the backyard.
No.
All right. All right, we're going to stop here for a quick break. We come back. We're going to be getting to Nick, Julie, Eddie, Monroe. and a bunch of others. And then, of course, Jennifer's going to talk to us about pulling money out of an IRA.
Mm-hmm. Early.
We don't want
without a penalty.
Without a penalty.
Oh, right. Well, okay. I can go along with that.
All right. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
$1 million. If I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house.
It's time for the Dog of the Week.
All right, Marcus, better be good.
All right, we're looking at you, Green Mountain Coffee Roasters founder, Robert Stiller. Mr. Stiller was ousted as the chairman and stripped of his board committee assignments this week after violating company rules by selling about $125 million worth of Green Mountain stock to meet a margin call on some outstanding loans. Those loans were taken out to purchase a 164-foot yacht and fund his Heritage Aviation business.
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
Gene, can I get a loan on margin?
He also sold about $50 million worth of Krispy Kreme donut stock this week to meet those calls.
Never good. It's never good.
Well, how big a yacht did he have?
164-foot.
Well, that's something to be proud of.
It ain't much, but we call it a yacht.
We call it country or an island.
That's right. All right, so, Mark, we've got a question from Nick in Roswell. I'm looking at some vitamin nutritional supplement retailers, Vitamin Shop, GNC, Vitacost.com. Mm-hmm. Of the three, do you like any of them?
Well, first of all, I'd throw Vitacost.com out the window. It's posted losses in 2 straight years. It's burned through some of its cash, and it's actually had to raise some capital and diluted existing shareholders. As for GNC and Vitamin Shop, GNC is the bigger player and has about 7,500 locations mm-hmm. worldwide versus Vitamin Shop's 500. What could work against and for GNC? It's the top player, so there's really nowhere to go but down. And that international presence, we've talked about Europe, there are issues over there, so people are not spending money like they used to. They don't have the money to spend. And but its larger size has better economies of scale. They're more profitable. As for Vitamin Shop, it has zero outstanding debt and a smaller store base, so it has more opportunity for growth. But
they all sell the same products, basically, aren't they?
Basically, vitamins, supplements,
whey protein,
proteins,
all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah, any kind of multivitamin kind of product. But with Vitamin Shop's growth expectations, it kind of has the shares priced at about a 50% premium to GNC. It trades about 33 times earnings versus GNC's about 22 times earnings. So if I was going to pick one, I'd probably go with GNC. You're paying less per unit of earnings. They've actually grown same-store sales now for 27 straight quarters, and that's during the
bad
financial
times.
Crisis.
I would have thought that those were the kind of things people would have given up when incomes fell.
Exactly. But for some reason, when you have like a person who works out, they still want to maintain that level, I guess, of performance in the gym. So
like me.
Put me on the edge.
It's like me.
On the edge.
Instead of eating 4,500 calories a day, I would like to do something different. I keep the nice apple shape.
Moving on.
Round is a shape.
Round is a shape. It is. You know, there's pear, there's apple, there's, you know, all kinds, orange. Eddie from Marietta says, I saw Bed Bath & Beyond is taking over Cost Plus
yeah,
World Market.
I like that.
Seems to me the stores are similar. Is there an advantage, or what is it?
Yeah, well, what's going on there?
We don't own any of these.
No.
Okay.
No, but I like both of those stores. One of the problems with Bed Bath & Beyond is they're getting competition from Amazon and stuff if you want to buy a KitchenAid, Mixmaster, whatever, and stuff like that. You go online. So they get so hurt there. So they've been looking for unique things that no one else carries, and that's what Cost Plus World Markets have. Vast majority of their stuff in there, somebody said compare it to a combination gourmet food and Pier 1.
Yeah, it's about 40% those gourmet foods and beverages. If you go into those stores, they're really neat.
Oh,
they had
good wine
products.
Selection.
So would you
international
buy Bed Bath & Beyond?
I've always liked Bed Bath & Beyond. We haven't bought it for some reason. I think it was for the valuation.
Yeah, it's valuation. I don't believe they have any outstanding debt. The big thing with Bed Bath & Beyond and this purchase is they're getting more real estate. And that's when you're talking about the Amazon. Amazon's been eating a lot of companies' lunches who sell
right.
electronics like your Best Buys or your book retailers.
Right.
I mean, you saw Borders already go out of business. Barnes & Noble, you know, they look like they're pretty shaky right now. They got a little infusion from Microsoft last week for their Nook business, but it's still, they have so much real estate.
Well, they have unique stuff you're not going to find online. And I think that's one of the neat things. And also, too, I did not know this, but Bed Bath Beyond has a number of its stores, a little world market already.
They do. They've been testing this for a couple of years now.
Yes, and so it's a good mix. I like Bed Bath & Beyond as a company, as a marketer, as a place to shop, and I don't know the valuation. I apologize for that. But that's the only thing that's ever stopped us from buying it.
All right. Listen, I wanted to tell our listeners that we're starting a new YouTube video series on financial planning, and we're starting with family planning. Okay? So you can download.
What do you mean by how many kids you should have?
Well, we're about to get into it. I'm teasing.
Family
as
planning. Family
many
planning.
Kids as you want.
Right. As many kids as you have family planning. we're going to start with, you know, beginning planning with the birth of a child. Okay, so you can view our series online at Hensler Group. So first of all,
we're not going to have live birth on that.
I was a little curious.
You were a little worried too.
Yeah.
Just
a little.
So you know, Jennifer, you could speak to this because you have three children.
Three.
Most of them are getting grown now, I suppose.
I'm just counting the days until
they're
out
of the
house.
You got one in Georgia Tech.
Yes, I have one in Georgia Tech, one that's a senior in high school this year, and one that's a freshman in high school.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot, so it should be Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, right. Yes.
AT&T should be happy.
That's correct.
Today, right?
That's right.
There are more calls made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year.
So one point I wanted to make is that the cost, car seats, strollers, just before you even have the child,
you
is
have
astronomical.
No idea.
All right, so this is the time where they need to sit down and really sort of come up with a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because formula and diapers and child care, I mean, can be about $400 a month or more.
Oh, yes. Probably more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the things that we've always talked about, Gene, is that it might make sense for one person to stay home and take care of the child rather than work, depending upon income levels. I mean, everybody says, well, we're going to pay for a nanny or we're going to send them child care. But sometimes when you run the numbers.
Well, and my husband and I were a living example of that. Gene
Absolutely.
Actually sat down with us and showed us on paper how
after
it was
taxes.
After taxes. You know, it was better for my husband to quit work and stay home. And he was a Mr. Mom.
And how'd that work out for you?
Oh, it was awesome.
Really?
Very good.
Now, you know, insurance needs is obviously another one. You know, making sure the health insurance is in place that you need to have in place. But also, you know.
By the way, she milked me for a raise.
Well, she did. I was like 56 and a half.
I was actually going to ask him if we could do the grease thing. You know, 90% of – I want to retire at 50 and get paid 90% of my
salary. Yeah, so did I.
Yeah. again, on the insurance side, I mean, obviously this is the one time for sure life insurance needs to be looked at.
Yes.
Not that life insurance doesn't be needed other times, but look, it's, you know, it's roughly $1 million per kid. Every time we run these numbers, it could be more depending upon if you're going to send them to Harvard
sure.
and Walker and, you know, Westminster and that kind of stuff. But the reality is that, you know, you cannot end up with three children and no life insurance. Well, you can, but it's not going
to
end pretty.
And you also need to make sure that the person that's staying home is covered by life insurance.
Right.
Because if some
Wait a minute. They don't work.
Yes.
He didn't work.
But they, oh.
That's what the Democrats say.
Than my
that's
husband.
Just a joke, ladies.
That's what the Democrats say.
Right.
My husband didn't do this, but most of the people that stay home do laundry,
right.
take care of the kids. No, I'm
right.
kidding.
Right.
But no, you know, they do laundry, take care of the kids, they prepare the meals, you know, they
right.
keep the house
There's
clean.
A cost to that.
There's a cost to that. If you can't work, take care of all the other things if you're the only parent and do all that
right,
at the same time.
Right. Two other real quick things. You have to update your estate plan. You're thinking, well, I don't have anything except for you have a child now and you must decide who the guardian's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want parents fighting, your grandparents fighting amongst themselves.
You don't want the court to decide who they're
That's
going
right.
to go to.
That's right. Because this is, you know, I was talking to Jeremy Lance with Lance and Reeves, and while he doesn't specialize in this area, he was giving me a 30-second overview. You know, if both parents, heaven forbid, were to pass and there was a child and it happened on Friday, I mean, first of all, realistically, that child's probably going to end up in DFACS
yes.
over the weekend. Probably. All right. And then the court's going to appoint a guardian ad litem And then you guys, meaning the family members, one side versus the other, have to decide, well, who's going to take care of little Johnny or Susie or whatever? You know, and so it could be a week before all this is ironed out if it's not written down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's very important. You don't want the state deciding who your kid's going to go with or be raised by. I wouldn't think.
No.
I don't know. I don't have children. I have dogs.
It goes by law.
It does. And the last thing is, you know, they talk about saving for children's education. Frankly, our position is you need to save for your retirement first.
That's correct.
Always. Because you can get, what, loans?
And kids can work.
What?
Kid can go to Kennesaw State. Kid can actually go to Kennesaw State and work 20 hours a week and pay for his education. You just keep giving him the room and board. Thank you very much. Done deal.
That's right. So, you know, there's going to be more of that.
Tell them to study hard or be a great athlete.
That's right. So you can see more about that on the website and obviously on our radio show. Stop here for a quick break. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back. Dollar bill. Come on, Gene. You wish you were dollar bill. Oh, I'm Bill Lako with Dr. Gene Hensler, Jennifer Thomas, and Mark Bendinelli. We're joined now by Matt Reeves with Main Street Home Loans. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, life's good, man. I got a song named after me.
Well, then it must be good.
He's got delusions of adequacy. Just forget about that.
Matt, is it time for Dr. Hensler and myself
to refinance again?
Not yet.
No. Well, I heard it was the lowest it's been ever.
Well, it is. But you also have to realize, like we talked about a great deal, is we're hitting that point where we can't get below 3.75 on a 30-year fix. They're not, the banks, investors aren't pushing out any lower coupons mm-hmm. than what's out there. We're still waiting on that next wave, whether it's Greece or something else, to push us forward. We're getting a lot of resistance on moving past this threshold. So
we are back
to record low levels.
I have a question for you. Is that you managed to be able to take an application, get a loan closed pretty fast? And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that was talking about some of these banks taking 120 days, that they're discouraging people, they're charging all sorts of extra fees because they really don't want the business or they don't want to stack up to get it. What's going on?
Well, I mean, that's a very valid point. A lot of these banks are with HARP 2, with the combination or where the rates are, if you go to a big bank, you're 90 to 120 days in processing.
Yeah.
You know, that's an advantage we have as a mortgage banker where we're still a lender. We still have all the direct underwriting capabilities that a big bank does. But we're able to staff accordingly, and we're not near that economy of scale, so we can do things a lot faster and a lot more efficient.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to get that point across because people read that kind of stuff and they say, well, geez, OP is taking me, it'll take me forever to get it, and
right.
maybe my fit, you know, what, my lock in won't be long enough or whatever.
So, what is a 15 or 30 year fix today?
You know, 30-year fix, we're still fighting that. We can't get below 3.75. We're there. We just can't get below that point. But you're talking about, you know, 15-year money, it's at, you can get it at 2.875 if you want to pay closing cost.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to rerun those numbers. It might be worth one final shot, Dean.
Yeah, we can get there in steps. We can do a 20-year first, and then we can do a 15. And
I have to run some numbers now. So, I have to run some numbers.
I'll gladly run them on your behalf.
He's giving me the rush signal, but again, I want to ask about appraisals. Are they coming in reasonable?
They are, and that's a product because we're seeing a lot of good normal sales right now.
Okay.
Our market isn't dominated by foreclosures, which is good.
So, Matt, how does somebody reach you?
So they give us a call at 678-502-1900.
One more time.
678-502-1900.
And what is it, mainstreethomeloans.com?
Yes, it is. And I just wanted to say hey to Jennifer since she didn't speak up to
it. She didn't have a chance.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you all.
Take care.
And you always give us a call at 770-429-9166 so we can get you in touch.
Gotcha. Now, Jennifer, last week during the show, I talked about rolling over an old 401k into an IRA, and I mentioned that, you know, possibly you could find a way to tap into that IRA before you're 59 and a half.
Yes.
By setting up something called substantially equal periodic payments.
Mm-hmm.
I also talked about that in my Friday Merida Daily Journal article.
Yes.
And so how does that work?
Well, let's say, for example, you decide that you want to retire at 50. And all of your money is
like
tied
Greece,
up.
Like the people in
Greece.
Yes,
in Greece.
Okay, I like
but you're not going to get 90% of your salary.
Darn
so
it.
Therefore, you have to come up with a way
yeah,
to
but she's talking
have
about
money.
It's your own money.
It's your own
yeah,
money. Yes.
Well, that's not as much fun. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
So if, you know, in some situations, and I have a client that this actually was the situation for him, all of the money was tied up in retirement accounts. So he didn't really have outside taxable money, which would be what we would prefer that you spend from first. Mm-hmm. So in this case, what we did was we determined how much he would need each year by running financial plans. And then we looked at, could we do substantial equal payments? And you have to do it based on one of three ways. One, and it's all in place by the IRS. So there are three methods that you can use. One is the life expectancy, one is the amortization, and one is annuitization. So you have to calculate it based on those three methods. You can separate out. So, for example, let's say you need $50,000 a year because maybe you're going to work part-time
right.
or you're going
right.
to do something else.
Right.
Or, so if you need $50,000 a year, you can figure out how much of your retirement money you need to set aside in an account to get that amount of money and figure out which method would work best for you. But you need to make sure before you decide that you're going to retire and do this that you can get enough based on what you currently have in order to do that.
Well, there's some penalties here, right?
Well, can you change the amount when you turn 59 and a half and take as much out of
your
life?
You have to do it for at least 5 years and until you're 59 and a half.
Gotcha.
So if
okay.
you're if you start at 57, you've got to go to 62.
Uh-huh. All 5 years.
Right, you have to go at least 5 years.
Gotcha.
Right,
okay.
So if you don't go, there's penalties involved. Rather
Correct.
Substantial.
Yes, and if you let's say something happens and then all of a sudden you needed to pull out more, you've broken your
Oh, wow.
Rule 72T. And then you have to go back. Not only do you have to pay the penalty on that withdrawal, but everything that you've withdrawn up to that
oh,
point.
Wow.
You know what the scary part about this is, Gene? Is that both Jennifer and I know about Rule 72T. We actually know.
It's what you do
for
a
We're at a cocktail party and somebody says, hey, Rule 72T. Jennifer, yeah, we talk about that all day long.
It's not as bad as the board meetings for the mutual fund. They got all this, you know.
Yes, it's fun stuff.
Well, you know, it is complicated. You know, then one of
don't recommend doing it on your own.
No, you really need somebody to sit down and calculate it. You have to also make the withdrawals either, you know, at the same time each year,
or
at the same time each, you know, or do it monthly.
Okay.
And you have to make sure that you follow it to AT.
Are there any loopholes for financial hardship or anything?
No.
No.
And
not under this. Not under 72T.
That's the loophole itself allowing you to take it out before 59 and a half without a penalty.
Okay.
You know, but in this situation, you might have had somebody that was laid off from a job and now they've gotten a new job, but it doesn't pay the same amount and they might need to be able to, you know, they're still going to work for a number of years, but they may need some money to
supplement. Oh, absolutely. This works.
So it can work for you.
And it works well, but you need to have a financial advisor and, frankly, a CPA that will do the calculations for you, mainly because if it's messed up and there's 50% penalties, you'd like to have that E&O available to you.
The biggest
it's true.
The biggest downfall right now is just because the way you pull it out or how they determine it is based on the Fed rate and interest rates are so low.
Yeah.
So now I actually ran the calculation for someone who was looking to retire at 50 and they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because based on the interest rates, the amount that they would allow them to withdraw, they don't even care that you might be able to invest it in stocks. They look at only those interest rates, and that's what determines how much you can pull it out. And, you know, an increase of 2% in interest rates makes a huge difference
Correct.
In the amount that they could pull.
I got you. Well, thank you for that wonderful information.
You're welcome.
Mark, I wanted to get to one more. We're not going to get to all the questions this week, but I want to get to one more. Julie from Atlanta says, I'm looking for some small cap plays. You know, I'm traditionally in large cap, but I would like to look at some small caps. Do you have any in particular?
Sure. One I would say is maybe Men's Warehouse. They operate.
And we don't own this, right?
No, we do not own this. It operates just the Men's Warehouse chain and K&G chains, and it stands to benefit from a recovery in the labor market as more people go out and need to buy suits for business attire and everything. The company also rents tuxes, and last I checked, proms and weddings are still happening all over the country.
I hear they cost an unbelievable amount of money.
Yes.
Too.
And it's a very high margin business, the tux rental business, and it gets more new customers.
And they don't
into the
actually
store.
Say, if you come in and buy one suit, we'll give you 14 free and some ties and some shirts, like some other organization.
Yeah, they've had a lot of competition from just as
big. What's wrong with that? I like 14 ties, 12 shirts.
They also have they don't operate the Big and Tall chain. That's a casual male group, but they do offer Big and Tall clothes. And I'm not looking at anybody here. You guys are both ripped individuals.
The Michelin Man? We're ripped, Gene.
The nation is growing bigger and taller, so demand for these products should be strong going forward. Company's about a $2 billion company. They expect earnings growth of about 15%. They don't have any debt. Decent dividend yield of about 2%.
And I like the owner's beard mustache.
Oh, absolutely.
So I hear the music, Gene, is the end of the show.
Jennifer,
mark it up or down?
Up. Has to be.
Jennifer, down. Down. Down.
To be even.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.